I want you to open your Bibles with me in a familiar passage of God's Word. In the book of Hebrews, and the chapter is number 9. Ninth chapter. The book of Hebrews, commencing to read at the verse number 22. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 22. And can I thank your minister for the opportunity to come and share with you in the special anniversary service? I count it a privilege, I count it an honor. And I pray that the Lord will undertake and bless him as he ministers God's word even in Macrofelt this evening. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood, there's no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ has not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entered into the holy place every year with blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath Christ appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. God will bless his word to our hearts for Jesus' sake. Verse number 26 says, for then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world, but now, once in the end of the world, hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There is a great question today, and it's simply this: how can my sins be put away? There are those who would simply ask it another way: can I be free from my sin? There is a guilty conscience that haunts a soul, and there is the pointing finger of accusation as we contemplate our lives and we realize that we are sinners in the sight of God. But is it possible for man's sin to be put away? Is it possible for me to be free from the awful pollution of my sin and have my sins pardoned and have my sins put away and have my sins forgiven? I'm glad tonight that this verse in God's Word, the latter part of it, makes it clear that now once in the end of the world hath he, that's Christ, appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And I'm glad I'm able to say tonight that you can be cleansed from your sin. When I think about the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, I rejoice in the fact of what Jesus Christ actually accomplished there, what Christ completed at the cross of Calvary. And friend, if you do not realize what Jesus fully accomplished there, you will never enter into the fullness of the joy that comes through that knowledge. The knowledge of your sins forgiven. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross, he did not die in vain. He did not leave any part of the work of my redemption undone. In other words, when the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary, he did not try to do it. He actually did it. The Lord Jesus said, he cried, "It is finished." And what happened at the cross of Calvary, friend, was that stupendous work that Jesus Christ came to do to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. He did not come to permit me to put away sin by some effort of my own because I have no ability by which I could ever do that. He did not come to make me savable. But the Lord Jesus Christ, the Word of God says, he came to seek and he came to save that which was lost. And so we come tonight to the Word of God, and we rejoice in the fact that Jesus Christ, God's Son, has finished the work for my redemption. And those who put their faith and put their trust in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In Hebrews chapter 7, if you look there in verse 27, it says this, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for their own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once, when he offered up himself. You see, the Lord Jesus Christ came to the cross of Calvary, and in him was no sin. He was a sinless, crimeless, spotless, holy, undefiled Lamb of God, and he came with a purpose to take away the sin of the world. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. In chapter 10, it says there in verse number 11, and every priest standeth daily, this is the Old Testament priesthood, and every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifice. Mark these words, which can never, mark those words, which can never take away sins. And so all the offerings and all the sacrifices of themselves, my friend, that were offered there in those Jewish altars, the Word of God says, they stand daily ministering and offering oft times the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. Never take away sins. But mark the next verse. But this man, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, after that he had offered, listen to it, one sacrifice for sins, hallelujah, forever, sat down on the right hand of God. Why did he sit down? Because he had finished the work. He sat down when he finished the work. And Christ cried on the cross, it is finished. Top lady wrote the words of those lovely words of the hymn, complete atonement thou hast made. And to the utmost farthen paid whate'er thy people need. Nor can his wrath on one take place. If sheltered in thy righteousness and sprinkled with thy blood. Praise God. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanseth us from all sin. But all the sacrifices of the past, they could never take away sin. But this man, praise God, after he had made one sacrifice for sins, next word, forever. Forever. Hallelujah. That ought to fill your heart tonight. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, he made one sacrifice for sins forever. Forever. Hallelujah. He finished the work. He did it all. Jesus paid it all. It's all to Christ we owe. For God so loved the world, John 3:16. That he gave his only begotten Son. He was the sacrifice for our sins. He was that one sacrifice, the only sacrifice for sin that would satisfy divine justice. And praise God, the truth of the cross is this. Listen to this carefully. The sinner for whom Christ died is free because of his substitute. And I want to tell you something else. The substitute himself is free. For he has discharged every liability. And he has given full satisfaction that divine justice required. And that's why it says he died for our sins. And he rose again because of our justification. You see, the work was done at the cross. And at the cross where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away, it was there by faith. I received my sight, and that's why I'm happy all the day. And brethren and sisters, let me tell you, you ought to be the happiest person in all the world to know that your sins, which are many, have been blotted out. That's if you're a child of God, if you're saved tonight.
Praise God, the burden has rolled away. Rolled away, the wee children's chorus has rolled away, rolled away, rolled away. And the burden of my heart rolled away. Every sin had to go. Neath the cleansing flow, hallelujah, rolled away. Never came back, rolled away. And the burden of my heart rolled away. Let me come to the exposition of this very simply here in chapter 9, verse 26. Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Here, first of all, my friend, is the grievous enemy, sin. Sin. My, can't you hear the very hiss of the serpent in the word sin? You know, there's not one that couldn't spell that word. I believe that most in this gathering tonight, even small children, could spell the word sin. S-I-N. But the sad reality is, whilst there's many can spell it, they don't understand what it means. They don't understand the very depths of their sin and how dark their sin is. The old Pharisee, he's asked, what is sin? What does the Pharisee say? He said, it's the eating without the washing of your hands. Or it's the drinking without having strained out the gnat. The little gnat, G-N-A-T, which is the little insect which was unclean, and the person who would drink it would be defiled. And so they strain the water so as therefore the insects, the defilement would be taken away. And that's what they say what sin is. Let me tell you what sin is. Sin is a transgression of God's law. Sin is rebellion against God. Men and women, today the Bible says that fools make a mock of sin. Boys, people today, we live in such a godless society. But let me tell you, sin used to be something that it was done in secret. Many of the sins were done in secret. Now it's done as brazen as it comes. People today have no shame of their sin. The adulterer has no shame for his adultery. He's as brass-necked as they come. Or she's as brass-necked as she comes. Because sin, fools make a mock of it. I want to tell you, my friend, sin is a serious thing because sin don't fail to damn your soul. Sin, when it is finished, the Bible says, bringeth forth death. You might think that you're winning by your sinning. Let me tell you, you're only a fool. God says, be not deceived, for God is not mocked. And you might be mocking God in the way you're living, friend. You may be mocking God by the life that you're living, and you think that you're sinning, and you're mocking God at your sinning. I want to tell you, the only one that's the fool is yourself. Because the Bible tells us, be not deceived, God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Sin, when it is finished, when it comes to the end of it, I want to tell you there comes a payment for your sin, dear ungodly person in this gathering. And you may feel that you've got away with it. You may feel that you're mocking God in the life that you're living, that somehow God won't stop you.
There's an old atheist. And he came to this town and the neighborhood and he started to mock God. And he used to make himself the joke and the center of all the party as he started to mock the things of God. One day he said to his friends, he said, listen, I'm going to prove there's no God at all. I'm going to the wood on Saturday. And I'm going to challenge God to meet me in the wood. And we'll see if there's a God or not. And all his mates laughed. God's going to come down in the wood, is he? Among the trees. and you'll take on God. He said, yes. Let's see where God is. Let's see if there's a God. And so the man went out, and the people saw him go. And they laughed as they saw him making his way to the wood. And he stood there for a number of hours that day, shouting, God! God, where are you? Come on and take me on, if you will. He spent till the afternoon. He laughed. He said, there's no God. He didn't come. He didn't take me on. For he couldn't, for there is no God at all. He went home that night, friend. And unknown to that man in that wood, just there on his eyelid, a little insect landed. Just a little insect. And it sat there for some time, and he just brushed away. And he went to his bed that night. And that insect had carried a poison. And as he lay in bed that night, his body started to swell. And before they got him to the doctor, he was dead. He thought he could take God on, friend. What that book tells me? God says, you're only deceiving yourself. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. If there's someone here tonight and you're saying, preacher, I wouldn't mock God. I wouldn't be a fool like that man taking God on. Let me tell you, friend. No, you haven't said a word. You haven't lifted your fist in the face of God, literally. You haven't called and tried to make yourself bravado in front of your friends. But let me tell you, you're mocking God. Every day you live, God in his mercy has given you blessing after blessing. And there's people who listen. All the years that our brother talked about that this building or these buildings have been open and the free church has been imported down, friends, Sunday after Sunday, maybe some of you sitting here, and you've been sitting all of those Sundays. You're still not saved. You're still walking in your sin. You say, preacher, well, why am I in the state I am? Because you love your sin. You want your sin rather than the Savior. You embrace your sin. And all I'm known to you is you embrace your sin. You drive and you bring the viper that will damn you to your bosom. Because sin, when it is finished, and make no mistake about it, it will have payday. For God's not mocked. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. That's the eternal separation of a soul from God Almighty. The Lord Jesus, when he was upon this earth in John's Gospel, chapter 8, he said to the people this, a people that had been privileged, a people that had heard the word, a people that had been preached to, the people that had witnessed the very presence of the very Son of God in their midst. They saw his miracles. They saw what he did. They heard his words of pardon and his words of power. And Jesus said to them, I go my way, and ye shall die in your sins. This is where I am. You can't come. Why, friend? Because their sins separate them from God.
That's the payment for the man and the woman that embraces this grievous enemy to their bosom. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Or Romans 6:23, the wages of sin.
You get your payment at the end of the month or the end of the week. Maybe, friends, you think that your employer hasn't done good by you, and you're only staying there until you get something else because your wages aren't right. Maybe you feel cheated by the wages he's given you. Let me tell you, don't you worry. God will not cheat one of you on your wages for sin, because God will give you the full payment. Paid in full. The wages of sin, Romans 6:23, is death. And that's not the physical death of itself, friend. That is a spiritual death. That is the second death, where a man is separated from God Almighty forever. Ye shall die in your sins, and where I am, ye can't come. Ye can't come. Who said that? Jesus. Friend, let me tell you, it'll not matter what hymns they sing at the funeral service. And not matter how beautiful they are. And not matter whether a singer comes and sings specially at the side of your grave. It's not matter troubles. If you die in your sin, friend, as sure as there's a God in heaven, where Christ is, you will never come. You'll never be. The grievous enemy, sin. For the soul that sinneth, it shall die. Now God says this to us. All have sinned. This preacher in this pulpit, let me tell you, I'm not judging you without acknowledging the fact is, I was born in sin. My natural inclination, everything of that my life inclined to, it was a sinful thing. Because I was born in sin, I was shaped in iniquity. But thank God I acknowledged my sin. I repented of my sin. I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank God I can remember that wee meeting outside Dungannon, Lachie Dungannon. And late Edmund Sanford was preaching the gospel 49 years ago today. And as a wee boy of 8 years of age, I knew that I was a sinner, for the Spirit of God revealed that to me. And the Spirit of God revealed something else, that God provided a Savior. And that night I asked the Lord Jesus to be my Savior. To be my Savior. And praise God, He came into my heart. Let me ask you a question, friend. Do you understand that God's angry with sin? Do you realize that one day you're going to meet God? You'll meet God. The Bible says, prepare to meet thy God. One day you'll stand before the throne of judgment. You say, I've never been in a court in my life yet. Let me tell you, I can guarantee you, you'll be there. I saw the dead, listen to this. I saw the dead small and great. There's nobody too small and there's nobody too great. And John got a vision of that day of judgment. And he said there was one sitting upon the throne. And he says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened. You see the sins you've forgotten about. See the sins you put away back into memory's chamber, friend, and you've locked the door because you'd be ashamed to bring them out. And one day God unlocks the chamber. And you're standing alone because everyone shall give an account of himself to God. And you're standing alone, friend, in the presence of Jehovah God. And the record is red. And every sin that you've ever committed in thought, in word, or in deed, every sin will cry for judgment. Every last one. And the judge of the earth will do right. The wages of your sin is death. But thank God, there's a glorious event here, because it says this: now once in the end of the world hath he appeared. I'm glad that God didn't leave me in my sin. I'm glad that God didn't forget about man. Man sinned grievously against God. God was gracious. God put Adam and Eve, and he put them into a garden, friend. He didn't put them into a pit. He put them into a garden. And God said, listen, now every tree you can take and partake of that fruit of that garden, but of the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. And God put a barrier around the one. And God says, of everything else you can have. And God's mercy and God's goodness was bestowed upon Adam. And Eve looked at the tree, and the serpent came and said to her, see that tree there? That's the one you really need. That's the one you need. Forget about the rest of them. That's the one. See, God had said, thou shalt not. The day thou eatest thereof, God said to Adam, the day you eat thereof, thou shalt surely die. God says you can partake of all the rest. And partaking of it, you'll enjoy them. And while you live, God says to take of that, you'll die. The serpent came to Eve and said to Eve, are you sure God said that? How do you know God said that? Maybe man's just making it up. And Eve started to converse with the devil. And she thought that she could outwit him. And then she said, you know, she added actually, I haven't time to go into this, but she added to the scripture, and she took away from the scripture. She said both. And God says there's a curse upon those who add to or take from. And she added to what God said, and she took from what God said. She said, lest you die. God didn't say lest you die. God says you'll surely die. In actual fact, friend, the devil quoted the Lord, right? Only the devil challenged God. He says, thou shalt not surely die. You see, the devil knew exactly what God said. And he says, you know, Eve, if you take that, you'll become as God. You'll become your own God. Is that what man's wanting? Is that why people are not saved tonight? Because they want to be their own boss. I'm in control. Let me tell you, friend. You're not in control. You're sinning. The sin's controlling you. You're a slave to your sin. You're a slave to Satan. You're a slave to your sin. And you haven't the power to break the chains and the fetters that are upon your soul. You're like the demon of Gadara. My, you're chained and you're fettered by your sin. Only Jesus can take your sin away. But man didn't leave. God didn't leave man in their sin. Thank God, God provided remedy. And that's why his son appeared. He didn't send the angels. But he sent his son. And God, in the fullness of time, he sent his only begotten son into this world, friend. And there he came forth from a virgin womb, and he was born. Bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, but thank God, without the stain of sin, he was a sinless Christ. And praise God, he lived a sinless life. And then one day he appeared in a garden. And there in the garden, the first garden, God arrested man because of his sin, and he said, Adam, where art thou? But here in the garden, man arrests his substitute, the Lord Jesus Christ. And there in the garden he appears, and then he appears in Calvary. And there on Calvary's cross, the Lord Jesus Christ hung, and he bare the sin of many. and my sins were transferred to him. And Jesus Christ bare my sin in his own body on the tree. And praise God, there at Calvary, he took all the wrath and all the judgment and all the pain and all the agony that was due for my sin. Christ, the Son of God, bare it. And the sword awoke, divine judgment awoke against my substitute. And Jehovah's blade, his sword obeyed his sword awake. O Christ, it woke against thee. Thy blood the flaming blade must slake, thy breast its sheath must be. All for your sake my peace to take, now sleeps that sword for me. Thank God I'll never perish because of what Christ did. He appeared for me. I believe it with all my heart. I believe that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, died for me. I believe that he shed his precious blood for me. I believe that my sins were placed on him. I believe that he bare my sins and my sorrows, and he made them his very own. And he bore my burden to Calvary, and he died, and he suffered alone. I believe it with all my heart. And I rest my soul there. Jesus, the blessed Son of God. You paid the price for my freedom. You settled the account. You paid the debt you didn't owe, and I owed a debt I couldn't pay. But praise God, Jesus, the Son of God, stepped out of the glory. And he says, Father, I come, and the volume of the book is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O God. And he laid down his life for ransom for me. You see, that's why I'm free tonight. That's why I'm saved. And that's why I'm safe tonight. Because Jesus paid it all. Hath he appeared. Notice what it says also, thirdly, the greatest exchange. It says, now in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. There never was any way of dealing with sin's problem except by sacrifice. By death, without the shedding of blood, we read it there in verse 22, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. But praise God, the blood was shed, and Jesus Christ, my substitute, died in my guilty room instead, and I can be gloriously, and I can be wonderfully, and I can be eternally saved. I am! And it's all because of Calvary. He was wounded for my transgressions. He was bruised, or the word there is crushed. For mine iniquity. And the chastisement of my peace was upon him. And praise God is with his stripe. I'm healed. You say to me, preacher, how are you getting to heaven? What's your ticket to glory? Let me tell you, friend. Jesus. He says, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. That's by Christ alone. Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the light. No man cometh unto the Father but me. Let me ask you a question, Peter. What are you depending on to get to heaven? Every one of us in this gathering, I want to tell you this. Every one of us, we're growing older. Every one of us, the clock's passing and mine's ticking away, and you and I are hastening on toward eternity. Dear lady in my congregation, her mother rang her the other day and she said to her, Gwen, your daddy's not too well. Or the other evening, around 6 o'clock, and said, Gwen, your daddy's not too well. Would you come over and see him? I think you need to come now. Your daddy's not well. Just put him to bed there. Your daddy's ill. Gwen sat down the night before. And she just left her dinner and she went over across from Macrofelt to Tubbermore. Out a little village or little hamlet outside Tubbermore, a little place called Kilross. And she went there and that was her mum and dad's home. And she went in through the door, friends. Let me tell you, when she went in through the door, she met her mother in the back kitchen. And the mother was just standing over the sink. She says, Gwen, I'm not well. And friend, let me tell you, just about an hour later, remember the mother made the telephone call. Remember what she said, Gwen, come, your father's ill. I was not home last night when her father's still alive. Mother's dead. Inside an hour of Gwen going to that home, thinking her father was in, and so he was. But the one who made the call died in front of her eyes. You and every one of us in this gathering, I'm going to tell you, friend, listen, I was in a man's house last night, and he'd been diagnosed with cancer, and to tell you the truth, unless God steps in a miraculous way, he'll not be here long. His wife said to me, "Mr. McRae, do you think is he long to live?" I said, "What did I tell you, Dad? I could be away before him. I'm sitting here, you think in the full bloom of health. Let me tell you, I don't know what I'm carrying. I don't know what disease I'm carrying. But let me tell you, listen, I could stand in this pulpit, Jacques Troop. Jock Troop was a great evangelist and preacher, and I met his wife over in the tent hall in Scotland, let me tell you. He desired to always to be in harness when the Lord would call him. And one night he was preaching the word of God, friend, just as he was preaching the word of God, he slumped back. Old Jock went home to heaven from the pulpit. There's not one of us know what a day and hour brings forth. I don't know what this night will hold for me, but thank God I do know this. I'll be on the streets of gold someday. I'll walk with Jesus someday. I'll look in the face of my Savior someday. And I'll praise Him for all eternity. And I'll love Him for all eternity. Why? Lord Jesus, You paid the price of my redemption. Lord Jesus, You brought me home because He predestinated me. And He called me. And He justified me. Not going to stop until He glorifies me. I owe it all to Jesus, friend. I'm not ashamed to say this to anybody. Listen, I'm not ashamed. I owe it all to Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Son of God. He's the only way to heaven. You can try to make your way to heaven, friend, in your own steam, and you'll go to hell as sure as you're sitting listening to me tonight. You'll be damned in hell. But thank God, whosoever believeth in Him, that's in Christ, should never perish. Never perish. The blood of bulls and goats on Jewish altars laid, they could never take away sin. But praise God, the blood of Jesus cleanseth from all sin. And those that put their faith and trust in Christ alone should never perish, but have everlasting life. Here's the last, the grand exclusion. He appeared to put away sin. Put it away. You say, put it away, preacher. Put it where? Put it in the sea of God's forgetfulness. Put it under the blood. Never to be remembered against me anymore. And thank God, therefore, being justified by faith, I have peace with God through the blood of the cross. What a Savior. What a message tonight to be able to proclaim to dying men and women. There's life in Christ, friend. There's eternal life in Jesus Christ. Are you wanting eternal life? Young man, Tim running to Jesus one day down the dusty path. He fell at the feet of the Savior. He said, "Good Master, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life?" He'd inherited. He was a rich young ruler. He had inherited everything else. And he said, what have I got to do that I can? I want to own, Lord. I want to inherit. I want to get eternal life. Let me tell you, my friend. It's a gift. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, my Lord. And you don't do anything to merit a gift. You just simply got to claim it. You've simply got to take it. By faith. 49 years ago, a wee child asked the Lord Jesus Christ into his heart to be a Savior. And thank God, here I am tonight, put it down, and I'm saved. I'm saved. And thank God, I'm as safe as if I was in heaven itself. Because those that he calls and those that he justifies, them he also glorifies. I'm getting to heaven through Jesus. The finished work. Now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. Will you come to the Lord Jesus tonight? Will you? Or will you just take your sin? To take your sin again, friend, and walk out of God's house. Embrace your sin. And God says, sin when it's finished. It'll bring forth eternal death. May God give you grace to come to Jesus today. Not to the church, not to the preacher, not to the sacrament. But come by faith to the Lord Jesus. And thank God, he'll save you. He'll save you now.